take some notes as well. I want you to take notes because what I'm preaching is very important. It's the sort of thing that you should have in the back of your Bible all the time. Some notes about, you've probably already guessed it, prayer. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. Prayer is so important. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Rejoice in the Lord. What's the next verse, next word? All right, okay. I know it's 9:15 service. I know it was minus one outside. I know you probably stayed up too late watching Champions League soccer. No, Brother David didn't. Some may have, though. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Let's read it again. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, amen. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everybody say everything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests, okay? Let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant or watching in it with thanksgiving. The New Living Translation says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. I didn't really know what to call this sermon today, so I'm just going to call it Pray with Thanksgiving. Pray with Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you right now. We thank you, Lord, that we can be here today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, even this sacred book, these ancient words, Lord, because you breathed them and inspired them, Lord, they are so relevant for us even in this year, the year 2023. Lord, it still speaks to us. Your words are still life. Your word still corrects and rebukes and instructs us in righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And so, Lord, as we open up your scriptures, as we hear from your word today, help us not to just hear, but to apply it to our lives. And we'll be sure to praise you, and we'll be sure to give you thanks. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. Pray with thanksgiving. You know, a lot of people get a little bit intimidated when it comes to prayer because they hear other Christians pray. They think, I couldn't possibly pray like that. Let me tell you, you don't have to pray with King James English. Prayer is simply talking to God. Prayer is communicating with God. And let me tell you today, anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. Even a university graduate can do this. Anybody can pray because it is simply talking or communicating with God. And there is no power like the power of prayer. Amen. If I say something you agree with, it's okay to say amen. Amen. And so to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing, because prayer to us is our breath, it is our livelihood, it is our means of living. And so to say you're a Christian and you don't pray is like saying you are alive but you're not breathing. That is the importance of prayer. And so while the world, and we see all these amazing progresses, and some of them amazing and some of them are worrying, and this new AI thing that's happening, it seems to be very amazing. I don't really know where it's headed. I don't know if it's really good or bad. But anyway, as the world progresses on so many fronts, the world progresses in science, in art, in the medical field, in all of the engineering fields, all of that. While the world progresses in all of those areas, there is still nothing more powerful than prayer. There is still nothing more powerful than prayer. You cannot improve on prayer. This world may advance in every area and every facet of life, but there is no improvement and there is no power than the power of prayer. Prayer is talking to God. Let me tell you, and anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. You see, when you pray, you have heaven and earth at your disposal. You can do nothing greater than to pray. Let me tell you, parents, the greatest gift you can give your children is prayer. Is prayer. You might not have a lot of money, and maybe you feel pressured to buy them cars and all these sort of things, but the greatest gift you can give your children is to pray. I know somebody that I look up to very much. He's a great man of God, a great preacher, but his mother gave him a card when he was 16. And she wrote in that card, she said, "We don't have a lot of money right now, so I can't offer you much in the way of a gift. But I will give to you 1 week of prayer and fasting every year and 1 hour of prayer every day." That is the greatest gift you can give your children, because there is nothing like the power of prayer. And everybody can do it. You don't have to be a super spiritual person. You don't have to be a Bible theologian. You can pray even when you've only known God one day. And even if you don't know God, He still hears us when we pray, when we cry out to Him. You see, the devil would want nothing more than to stop people praying, because that is where our power comes from. That is our connection with God. And people get lured away into false doctrines. When they do, the first thing that happens, they stop praying. They stop bringing their requests to God. They stop asking God. They stop praying, and before you know it, they get lured away. When people backslide, the first thing that happens, they stop praying. I'm not saying they don't do other things in the name of God. They will do many things in the name of God. But one thing that drops by the wayside is that they stop praying. And the devil will want nothing more than for the people of God to stop praying. Because prayer is our power source. No prayer, little prayer, much prayer. And so prayer. I know as Christians, you're probably thinking, "Oh, Pastor, you know, I already know I don't pray enough. I know that I used to pray more, or I know that I've become casual." And some of us may be thinking, "Oh, another thing on my busy schedule. Another thing. Prayer, I mean, there's no way. And all that I've got to do, how am I going to find time to pray?" But prayer should not be regarded as some sort of duty. It shouldn't be regarded as some sort of duty to be performed, but rather we must remember that it is a privilege to pray. What a friend that we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. One person wrote a poem, and the name of there is in your little book there, in the little notes you got there. She wrote a poem, "I got up early one morning and I rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbling about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me?" And I wondered, and He answered, "You didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, 'But you didn't seek.' I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock, and God gently, lovingly chided, 'My child, you didn't knock.' And so I woke up this morning and I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray." I had to take time to pray. You see, prayer is a communion with our Creator. When we pray, we engage in loving fellowship and communion with the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen. It is our connection to God. And so let me tell you, if you want to get back on your feet again, and maybe you feel like you've been knocked down, maybe you feel like you're defeated, maybe you think, "You know what? I'm a long way from God." Let me tell you, if you want to get back on your feet again, first of all, get down on your knees. If you want your family to get back on its feet again, get down on your knees. If your marriage may be down and you want it to get back on its feet again, let me tell you, it starts by getting down on your knees. And if this nation is going to get back on its feet again, we must first get down on our knees. Because The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will hear their prayers, and I will heal their land. And if we're going to get back on our feet again, it starts on our knees. God does nothing but by prayer, and God can do anything through prayer. Now, I know our prayers may be awkward. Sometimes we don't know the words to say. Our prayers may even be feeble. But the power of prayer is not in the one who says it. The power of prayer is in the one who hears it. It's not in the one who says it. And we say, oh, I feel so awkward. I don't know the words to say. Sometimes, you know, I get down on my knees and I begin to pray and I don't really have the words to express and all of those things. Don't worry. If it's awkward, it may be some feeble attempt to cry out to God. Whatever it is, the power is not in the person praying. The power is in the God that hears us when we pray. He says, call unto me and I will answer you. And so we are told to bring our burdens to God. And there are a lot of people here today carrying burdens that you're not meant to be carrying. Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. We are told to bring those things to God in prayer. In the last days, we're told to watch and pray. And it's funny, I remember my mom and dad used to, sometimes we'd pray for the food. And sometimes I'd have my eyes open, and so mum and dad had to do the check, you know. There's nothing in the Bible that says you close your eyes. We close our eyes simply because we don't want to be distracted while we're talking to God. But my parents wanted to make sure I was praying, and one sign of praying is I have my eyes closed. And Dad said, you had your eyes open, Jonathan. You can pray again. And so I said to Dad, but the Bible says watch and pray. The reality was I had to watch out because, you know, we're about to have KFC or some chips. My sister most likely would steal a chip while I'm praying. And the only reason I was worried my sister would do that is because I did that to her. But the Bible says in these last days that we ought to watch and pray. You see, prayer is the most powerful thing that you can utter with your mouth. It is the most important conversation that you will ever have. It is through prayer that we confess our sins. It is through prayer that we come as a weeping soul to a sympathetic high priest in our times of need. We bring our needs to God. Prayer is a weapon against the devil. It is a conversation between a loving father and a child. You see, we go to prayer, we say, Dear Heavenly Father, Abba Father, Daddy, Daddy. We bring our prayers. It is through prayer that we get healing. It is through prayer that we see miracles. It is through prayer that we see salvation. It is through prayer that demonic forces can be cast out and set aside. It is through the power of prayer. Let me tell you, prayer is not just for the good times. Prayer is for the bad times. It is, the Bible says that all the time we ought to be praying. Bring everything to God in prayer. And so our text says this. Colossians 4 verse 2. Continue. Everybody say continue. Continue earnestly in prayer. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. There are three very strong words in that verse. Continue. Earnestly. And vigilant. Continue means to persevere. Keep going. Persevere. Never cease. Persist. Don't give up. Press on. Stick at it. Remain. Sustain your prayer. Continue in prayer. Paul isn't just saying pray. He's saying persist in prayer. Stay praying. Continue in prayer. And this persistence in prayer is all the way through. It's an emphasis that we see all the way through the New Testament. In Ephesians 6 verse 18, I listed the scriptures there. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5 17. Pray without ceasing. Acts 6 verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Luke introduces Cornelius in Luke chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And so we are told to continue in prayer. And you say, well, Pastor, you know what? I just can't stay on my knees all day. I got to go to work. And, you know, if I just stay in my room, I would love to stay in my room on my knees. And but I'd be fearful what the house would look like when I came out with those kids out there. Of course, there is a time and a place to set aside and to get on our knees and to go before God in prayer. But this continuing in prayer is a constant attitude of prayer. The way I view it as a pastor and being a pastor, prayer is so important because you need to be connected with God all the time. But the way I view prayer is that I'm walking with God and always aware that He is there. In every situation, whenever I get a chance, I know I can talk to God in prayer. When I'm about to take a phone call, about to make a phone call, when somebody comes to me, I know that God is there. I'm aware of His presence. I'm aware that I can talk to Him at any time. It is an attitude of prayer. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that you don't have a designated time to give to God in prayer and reading the word and your devotion, but we must have that attitude of prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege. Everyone say privilege. So we are told not to let anxiety overcome us. We are told that there are burdens we shouldn't be carrying, and we are told to bring all of those things to God in prayer. And some of us have got to stop venting to other people. We vent horizontally. I'm really frustrated. I just can't stand my job, can't stand this thing or whatever it is. And we vent to other people. You know, David had to do a fair bit of venting, but he vented to God. Bring your burdens and your worries. Don't vent to people. Some people tell me, what sometimes they say, Pastor, I just have to vent. I'm like, please don't. I feel like they're spewing all over me, you know. It's like, take it to God. And, you know, sometimes we feel like we're going to vent to our family or vent to our husband or wife, and there's a time and a place to tell them how we're feeling. But ultimately, we go to God and say, God, this is how I'm feeling. And let me tell you, His shoulders are broad enough to hear your prayer. He will hear you when you pray to Him. James chapter 4, verse 3, I believe this is the answer to unanswered prayer. He says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You see, when we pray according to God's kingdom. Everything is about the kingdom of God. We pray, we bring our requests. We don't bring our demands to God. We bring our requests to God. We bring our requests. In other words, God will not answer our prayer if we're just wanting stuff for ourselves. We ask amiss that we may consume it upon our own lusts. And so when I say, God, I want to be better looking, so give me some hair. God says, you asked amiss because you just want to look good. I made all that up. But there are some things that I don't pray for hair, all right? I'm happy. I can save money on combs. They say, I'm not losing hair. I'm just gaining face, more face. But we ask amiss. Because why? You can ask amiss. There are things that you shouldn't be asking God for. You ask amiss if you're asking selfishly, if you're not praying according to the will of God. Don't worry. God knows your needs, and there's a difference between needs and wants. Sometimes God will give you what you want, but it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, which are needs, the things we need, God will take care of them. And so there is a way to pray and to ask amiss, and God will not give it to you because of your motive, maybe your motive, whatever it is, we ask amiss. And so we go back to our second text, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, or be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Prayer. Prayer is asking God. Prayer is bringing our request to God. Prayer is our needs, our wants, asking God. We come to God in prayer and ask Him to do something on our behalf. Prayer, and the second part of that is supplication. Supplication is a specific type of prayer. It's not a general need, but we go to God with a supplication, a specific request, a specific need. And the Bible says, don't be anxious, but bring your prayers to God, bring your specific requests to God, and then it says that we are to do it with thanksgiving. A lot of times we forget that. We just load God up with all of our prayers and supplications, and then we say amen and go about our day. But we are told to bring our prayers and supplication to God with thanksgiving. And that's why I called the title of this message, Pray with Thanksgiving. And yes, we are a needy people, and we need to bring our prayers, our general petitions, and we are to bring our supplications to God, our specific requests. And then what we do is we begin to thank God. At the end of every prayer, we end with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. And so what are we thanking God for? I mean, our idea of thanksgiving is if someone gives me something, when it's done, I say thank you. But this is a different kind of thanksgiving, because you're going to thank God for something before you've even got it, because that is an extension of our faith. And we're also going to thank God, even if you don't do it, I thank you, God, that you still got my best interests at heart. That if you withhold something, it's for a purpose. And that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So if, God, you're going to withhold that thing, then I'm going to thank you, because obviously you know I didn't need it. Or you know that it would destroy me. Or you know that it's not the right time. When we pray, God's answers are yes, no, and wait. And so we thank him for what he will do. We thank him for what he is doing. And when you pray, you also thank God for what he has done. You see, when we come to God, we don't just say, these are all the things that I need now. We say, God, I thank you for all the times you've answered my prayer, for all the things that you've provided me. I'm thankful for your provision. I'm thankful for your love. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. And in this prayer, as I conclude this prayer, I thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Everybody say thanksgiving. And so somebody says, well, what do you mean? I'm gonna thank God for something that I haven't got yet. Yes, that's right. You're thanking God in advance. You're starting to thank him and praise him for something that hasn't even taken place, because your trust is in God. And when you begin to thank God, you step out of the flesh and into the spirit. You step out of the ordinary realm into the supernatural realm. You begin to extend your faith. And oftentimes, if you've come to this altar and I pray with you, I will pray that prayer. I say, now go back to your seat, worship God, and thank him for what he's going to do. Because when you go back and you begin to say, Lord, I prayed, and I'm just thanking you that you heard my prayer and you're going to move on my behalf. You are extending your faith to God. That is faith. In fact, expectation is faith. Expectation is the birthplace of miracles. That's where miracles happen, when we have expectation. We thank God for all, we're so used to saying when someone does something for us, we thank them when we get it. But this is a supernatural thanksgiving. When we pray, we bring our petitions, our supplications, and we do it with thanksgiving. When we pray for people at the altar for healing, we tell them, go away and thank God for your healing. All of those things, because there is power in thanksgiving. That is faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see it yet. It's not tangible yet, God, but I'm going to thank you anyway. I'm going to give you thanksgiving because you heard my prayer. You're going to answer my prayer. I know, God, that you've got my best interests at heart. I'm thankful for what you've done. I thank you for what you're going to do. I am full of thanksgiving to you, God. Pray with thanksgiving. Everybody say that. Pray with thanksgiving. John chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. I better give you some more scripture for this. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, this is, the 5,000 men plus women and children here. Jesus looked up, he saw so many people. He said to Philip, hey, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said to prove him. So Jesus knew where the bread was going to come from, but he's wondering if Philip had an idea, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered, he said, well, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. We go buy bread, it's not going to be enough to feed 5,000 men, plus women and children. And even if we give everyone just a little bit, it's still not going to be enough. I mean, we give them a crumb even. Got a couple of loaves. So one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. We've got what we need. Fish and bread sounds like a good lunch. Sardines on toast sounds good. I like it, by the way. I know some people don't. We've got what we need, but it's not enough. And so we go down in the scriptures, we find that Philip replied and said, even if we worked for months in verse 7, we still wouldn't have enough. And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, well, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but it's not enough. But if you read down in the account, it says that they put the 5 loaves in Jesus' hands. It was not enough. The 5 loaves wasn't enough. But when it was in Jesus' hands, the first thing that Jesus did, and it's an example for us, before the miracle, the Bible says, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. Woo! Before the miracle, and when he had given thanks. We haven't even seen the miracle yet. You see, Jesus wasn't just saying grace. He was not saying, oh, we thank you for the food. You know, he was showing us the power of thanksgiving. When you pray to give thanks, when you thank God for what you need, but you still don't have it, you're beginning to release the miraculous. And then they took the 5 loaves and they begin to break it and it keep coming back. And they're giving it and giving it and giving it. Why? Because thanksgiving unlocks the miraculous. Because it's a whole new realm of faith when you pray with thanksgiving. I hope somebody's is being enlightened today and seeing not just the power of prayer, but the power of thanksgiving. Andrew said, it's not enough. And Jesus said, thank you, God. Now it's in your hands. Thank you. He gave thanks. And so what are your needs in this place today? You say, well, it's not enough. I don't have enough. Take it to God in prayer. Put it in his hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the little that I've got right now. I could have nothing. I thank you for the little I have now. I refuse to be ungrateful, God. And when you give thanks, you begin to release the miraculous, because faith is the evidence of things not seen. Luke chapter 17, and I'm mindful of the time. When it came to pass, Luke 17, 11 to 14, as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's the request. They're making their request made known unto God. They are lepers, and they say, Jesus, have mercy on us. And when they saw him, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Everyone say cleansed. So they had leprosy. They had those red rashes. It was a sign of leprosy. That would mean they would have to be isolated. Some of them would have to ring a bell and say, unclean, unclean, unclean. And you know what? They were cleansed. That's a miracle. That's wonderful. Those lepers were cleansed. They made their request made known unto God. They were obedient and they were cleansed. Now, the problem with leprosy is that you can be cured of leprosy, but they would often lose limbs and have huge scarring on their bodies. And so they were cleansed, but still there was an outward sign that they had leprosy. They were missing parts. And so they made their request made known. They obeyed. The leprosy left their body, but they were not whole. Everyone say, not whole. So what happened? And one out of 10. And one, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Okay, what was he doing when he was glorifying God? Let me show you what he was doing. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He said, I am unworthy. I am a Samaritan. And Jesus said, didn't I cleanse 10? Where are the other nine? They are not found that return to give glory to God. Just you, this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole. Not cleansed, but whole. Okay, thy faith. What was the faith? Thanksgiving. Right there. Thy faith has made thee whole. He was made whole. Things, this happened because he came back to thank Jesus. You see, we ought to learn the power of praying with thanksgiving. If your life is lacking, start thanking God for what you've got now and start thanking God for his provision, that he knows where you are. His eye is on the sparrow. He hasn't forgotten you. Pray with thanksgiving. Let me tell you, if God said it, I believe it. I expect that if there's a promise in God's word, I can stand on those words. When I read the scriptures that Jesus died and by his stripes we are healed, I can pray and thank God for healing. Amen. God's word will not return void. Standing on the promises of God, praying according to God's word, and praying with thanksgiving. And maybe some of us are thinking, sitting here today, and revelation has come. We're like, you know what, Pastor? I never realized the power of thanksgiving. Let me tell you, church, I printed all this out because I want you to have it in your Bible. So when you have your time of devotion and when you have your time of prayer, that you can remember the power of prayer and the power of giving thanks to God. You see, Satan trembles. You may be the weakest saint. You may look at yourself and say, I'm not even a good Christian, Pastor Jonathan. But let me tell you, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees. There's nothing as powerful as prayer. If you feel weak, get down on your knees. And when you're on your knees, you're fighting. You are fighting, and Satan will begin to get scared. He's scared of even the weakest saint. When you get on your knees, Satan trembles. Prayer is not the only thing. I quote Reverend Anthony Mangan, prayer is not the only thing, but prayer is the principal thing. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Jesus, the Lord said in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. See, pray with thanksgiving. I want to give you something today as you leave this place today that you can go with another tool in your tool belt, another weapon in your armory. And it's something that we might not often think of, but it's the power of thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And so what do you mean, Pastor? Well, what I'm telling you to do is when you're done praying, just lift your hands and begin to thank God for what he's done, for what he's doing, and what he is going to do. Begin to thank God before you even see the miracle. Let me tell you, just like, you know, God, I don't have enough. These five loaves is not enough. It's not enough. But when we give thanks, the miracles begin to happen. Pray with thanksgiving. Let's all stand. If the musicians could come right now, I hope that you'll be able to take some notes today. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, one of my favorite verses. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God is looking. Everyone say, he's looking. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God is looking for somebody to show himself strong on your behalf. Everyone say, my behalf. Okay, God cannot show himself strong on your behalf if you're trying to show God how strong you are. I'm going to say this, it might not make sense, but God can't help Superman or Superwoman. If you're walking around thinking you can do all of this and you got all the answers and you're the wisest person and all these things, if you're walking around thinking you're showing God how strong you are, God can't help you. God wants to find people who He can show Himself strong on their behalf. Some of us need to become vulnerable before God. God knows. God knows where we're at. Who are we to think that we can fool God and show Him how strong we are? He's saying, oh, come on, you have not because you ask not. Come on, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those who can He can show Himself strong. You see, if you're trying to show God how strong you are, God cannot show Himself strong on your behalf. So some of us today need to surrender and say, God, I'm not enough. I'm not enough unless you come, unless you do a work. Without my life in your hands, Lord, I'm going to fall short every time. God is looking for the weak because in our weakness, His strength is made perfect. God is looking for the humble who said, I'm not enough. God says, I'll show myself strong on your behalf. God is looking for the willing. God is looking for the thankful. Be anxious for nothing. And anxiety is at epidemic levels in our world today. People paralyzed by anxiety. But be anxious for nothing. When you feel that anxiety coming, say, God, I may be worried about that, but now that's my trigger to go to you in prayer. But in everything through prayer and supplication. And when I'm done bringing my prayers and my supplication to you, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to thank you. Can we lift our hands across this place right now? Let faith come by hearing, Lord, and hearing by the Word of God. Lord, help us to understand the power of thanksgiving. Help us to understand the power of praying with thanksgiving. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as we leave this place, that we would put this understanding in our tool belt, our spiritual warfare tool belt, in our prayer tool belt, that Lord, we would pray with thanksgiving, that we would pray with expectation. Lord God, help us to be a people of prayer. Lord, I pray for those here today, Lord God, whose prayer life is lacking, Lord, who don't make time for you. Lord God, I pray that we would be convicted. Lord, help us, Lord, to start. Help us, oh God, remind us. Even, Lord, wake us up in the morning. And Lord God, that we may go to you the first time, the first hour, the first minute to go to you in prayer. Because, Lord, without prayer, we are nothing. Lord, without prayer, we're like somebody who doesn't have breath in our lungs. We thank you, Lord, that you told us that we can bring all of these things to you. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, when you died on the cross, Jesus, that veil was torn and we can boldly go into your presence. We can boldly approach your throne. We can come to you, Lord God, in prayer and supplication. Lord, that we can stand on the power of your word. Today, my prayer today is that some people here today would make a fresh commitment. And not just a commitment. A commitment's great. But that you would put some action in place, that you would make some changes to your lifestyle so that you can be a person of prayer. Prayer is the most important conversation you can ever have. Prayer is the most powerful thing that you can utter with your mouth. It is the power of prayer. Let us be people that are connected to God in prayer. If you want to come today and kneel at this altar, maybe you need to come and just say, Lord, I just want to spend some time in prayer right now. Whatever your need is, this is a time to pray. It's the most important time in our service. The preaching is, yeah, it's God's word's been preached. But now the question is, what are you going to do with what you've heard and what God's word has spoken to you? What are you going to do? Let's find a place to pray. Let's seek God. Let's make a commitment. Let's put some action in place.